Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Iron Hack Podcast. I am Dan.
I am Ternary Tim. You've gone full no
I've
more
gone
DevOps.
Full just product manager Dan now, staying away from DevOps Dan. It's
PMD.
It's too misleading. Right, straight to it today. Wonderful episode. Yeah,
we were joined by Tom. He's a senior developer at Trivago. And it's been a long time coming, actually, this episode. We've been talking with the team there for a while to make it happen. And I'm really glad we did.
Yeah, and bags and bags of experience, 20 years of experience in the developer world. And don't be turned off if you are one of our design or data analytics students. There's still some really good advice in this one for how you can leverage experience or how you can leverage your junior position to still gain experience. So it's all this whole episode is about how years aren't the only metric for measuring someone's seniority, I suppose.
Yeah, it's like a kind of the senior mindset more than just the years in the game.
And we touch a lot of points that we haven't spoke about for a long time on the podcast, since back when you and I were learning. And I think it was a nice refresher. Things like, it's not about how well you can remember lines and lines and lines of code. It's about how well you can adapt and you can learn and how well you can search, which in many ways is a big relief, I think, to a lot of people out there who maybe look at coding or look at tech or look at design or look at data analytics and data science and think this is very overwhelming and very complex. And today's conversation is a great reminder that it isn't. It's one step at a time, and it's just about your ability to chip away at the proverbial mountain.
All right, talking of proverbs, actually, there's a great proverb right at the end that Tom landed on us, which is great, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, the entrepreneurial cow farmer's son.
All right, let's get to it so people can listen to that.
Hey, my name is Tom Bartel. I'm based in Düsseldorf, Germany. I work for Trivago. And I'm a software engineer by training, but I've phased into engineering management quite early, so already 8 or 9 years ago. And ever since, I've become more and more interested in people topics related to engineering, like teaching engineering skills, like managing engineers, helping them develop and communicating with them and things like that.
How long have you been in software development? Need to know.
In software development, roughly 20 years, 20, 21 maybe.
Nice. That's definitely on the higher end of the level of experience of people that we've spoke to on the podcast. But we'll get into that later, I guess, what that actually means. And maybe this is a bit of a leading question, but how important are those kind of soft skills and those kind of teaching skills in the world of web development?
I think they are very important. I think people's skills are important because you always work in a team. You don't work alone that much. And do you know who Nicholas Zakas is? He is a book author and worked for Yahoo under Douglas Crockford for a long time. And he published a couple of very good books on JavaScript and CSS. And he has a great article, like best career advice I've ever received or things like that. And there is one quote that has stuck with me forever, which is, your technical skills will only take you so far. At some level, the distinguishing factor will be your people skills. How well do you work with other people? Because you can be brilliant technically if you're an asshole and nobody wants to work with you, then it will make you less effective. And technical skills paired with good communication and good interpersonal skills, that will take you much farther and make you much more effective as an engineer.
Yeah, I think that's very good news for people who would be doing boot camps, because I think as a career changer, often your skills are, you know, the first part of your career is very much people focused, or, you know, if you're pivoting into tech, it's probably a pivot away from the skills that you had before, which is generally more, you know, probably people focused. So yeah, I think that's very, very good news for a lot of boot campers, I would suggest.
Yeah. It was also surprising to me a bit that I enjoyed this kind of this flavor of topic so much, because most people don't go into computer science to have to do a lot with people, right? They rather go into computer science to have little to do with people, because people are messy and complicated and difficult. But it's just important because you work with people.
Just give me the tickets.
Yeah, give me the code. I'll do the rest.
So I think that the focus of this episode, we wanted to talk about, obviously, how juniors enter the industry, but how they can kind of aspire to become more senior. I think in the last few episodes, we've talked a little bit about, like, you know, the second job after you've graduated from the boot camp often is where you start finding your feet and your pace a little bit. So I think this could follow on really nicely with that. And you shared with me some interesting slides from a presentation that you you delivered a few weeks ago. So I thought maybe we could just kind of dive into that. And maybe you could give us a quick overview of those, of the three kind of like bullet points or the three topics that you discussed, and then we can drill into each one in a little bit more detail.
Yeah, my pleasure. That presentation was called Elements of Seniority. So I talked a bit about this concept of seniority, because everybody wants to become a senior developer. All the companies are looking for senior developers. But it's also my impression that it can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. What is seniority? What is a senior developer? And I've tried to bring some clarity into that. And I offer three hypotheses in this presentation. Because seniority usually is a bit of a synonym for experience. People want experienced software developers. And I think experience is important in a way. Nothing can replace it in some situations, at least. That's hypothesis number one, which is bad for a bootcamp person, right?
But yeah, the other one can be quite a daunting way to look at it.
Yeah, but wait for it. The second hypothesis is that experience is not measured in years. And that's a good thing for bootcamp graduates.
I can hear the relief from the listeners.
And the third hypothesis is that experience is not everything. It also depends a lot on other qualities of your character. And this is, again, good for bootcamp graduates.
Yeah. Well, then let's start with the first one, then, the daunting one, that nothing can really replace experience. But I mean, how does experience look in the world of coding, right? So does someone who's been coding for 20 plus years automatically have more experience than someone who's, say, been coding half the time but built twice as many things? How do you define experience in coding?
Yeah, exactly. You're going in the right direction. The number of years is not the decisive factor, because you could be doing the same thing for 20 years. Yeah, every year is going to be the same, so you won't have learned very much during this time. Whereas when you say you switch jobs a couple of times or switch technologies, work on several different big projects, then every time you're starting from scratch in some aspect, at least, and that's uncomfortable. You're out of your comfort zone, but that's also where the learning happens. And I would say absolutely somebody who has 10 years of professional experience can be more experienced than somebody who has been in the same job on the same code base for 20 years. So experience is not measured in years. It also depends a lot on, are you learning new things? Are you actively seeking out new situations, new problems to work on, new technologies to explore? And especially in the very fast-paced world of software development, of web development, this is crucial, because if you stagnate, if you don't learn new things, then your skills will become obsolete. Like my CSS skills, for example, I used to write CSS I don't know, 7 years ago or something. And ever since, I have not kept up with CSS skills because it just wasn't that relevant to me. And by now, my CSS skills from back then are pretty obsolete because Grid has arrived, Flexbox has arrived, other things have arrived, and I've never actively worked with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think tech more than almost any other field, the experience can really be measured by this ability to adjust and learn new things, and how many times you've iterated through your own learning of a new thing can really put you light years ahead. Whereas opposed to, like, let's say a builder, for example, then it is 30 years of building a house. You know how to build a house very well. But in tech, if you've learned 7 or 8 libraries and you know how to learn fast and how to teach yourself, this can be a real mark of like a good quote developer.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is an interesting quote by Kent Beck, one of the signers of the original Agile Manifesto. He wrote that with consistent use of pair programming, the capabilities of programmers don't differ much after 2 years of experience. So 2 years, that's not a lot, right? So
yeah.
The corollary is that if a fresh man comes out of a boot camp, or a fresh woman, and they do consistently pair programming with somebody more experienced or with a whole group of people who are more experienced, then after 2 years, they deliver the same quality of work. And that, I think, is very encouraging to people who have just graduated from a boot camp.
Do you think pair programming really is the best way to learn, as opposed to just someone who sits and learns by themselves? Do you think there's really any competition?
I think it differs individually. For example, I enjoy pair programming to a degree. I couldn't do it all the time and all day. And I also think some people, like if they are on the learning side, I think some people enjoy it more, and some people would rather like to think things through on their own or at their own pace and so on. If they are rather quiet, rather shy, rather introvert, then I imagine constantly doing pair programming is probably not the right thing for them and not the best way to learn. But I think it should be one element of the learning process, because there is nothing like watching somebody else think in real time. If you can, you can trace their steps in real time, how they navigate through the code, the questions that they ask, the changes that they make, the way they verify their changes, the tests they write. If you watch all that in real time, it gives you much more insight than them commenting on your pull requests in a code review. That you get that it's totally asynchronous, and you only get feedback after the fact. But if you do it synchronously, then I think the learning is much more intense.
This is exactly what Anaïs was saying last week. Actually, she was talking about pair programming and watching the senior developers at her company looking for things, just look the way that they Googled stuff and looked up like the fixes. She said that it's not the writing of the code, it's actually how you, it's like the working out, not the answer, that's the interesting part of actually the pair programming.
And I think it can also be very encouraging for youngsters, because they experience firsthand that the seniors, they also don't know every library function by heart, right? They Google the most trivial stuff. Like, I constantly Google things I've used 1,000 times because I've forgotten about it again. And they, it has something very leveling. Like, it puts everybody on the same level. And it shows that the seniors are also not perfect, and they are not smarter than the juniors. They just have been out there a bit longer.
This is an important thing, for especially for people who are brand new in the world of coding, to hear as well, that, you know, senior devs still Google things every day, and absolutely, it's not about the ability to just write out the piece of code. In the end, the piece of code that you write might be exactly the same as what a senior would write to fix the problem. It's just how fast they get to finding out what that line of code should be.
So. Yeah. Or sometimes when juniors see a piece of code then they think, wow, this is genius. The person who wrote this must be a genius. This is so, so far above what I could ever do. But what they don't know maybe is that this piece of code was worked on for 3 months and iteratively refined, and then it was sent into production, then it caused the site to crash, then it had to be rolled back, it had to be refined again. So you have to see this process to so that you're not awestruck and, oh my God, this is so much better than anything I could ever do. And it has something very democratizing, I think, where
senior developers never forget to remove their console logs as well before they do the PR request, so it always, always looks better.
But do you think, though, that junior devs should be, I mean, because it's very easy for them to be scared off by the complexity of how coding looks from the outside. So what's your kind of advice for new people in the industry to see through this complexity, I think?
It can really be a bit intimidating because you've got so many languages and technologies to deal with. My advice would be tackle it one by one, like focus on one thing at a time and don't try to do everything at once. Also, it doesn't have to be perfect. Done beats perfect. If you deliver something that you can put out there, that's better than working on something for 2 months and still not there, but might have 100% test coverage and use all the latest specs. So there are so many way imperfect sites out there who the image size is where the page weight is way too big and the code is messy and the whole internet is full of horrible code. So don't be afraid to add to it. You get something out there. I mean, we all did it in the past. Every senior out there has written horrible code in the past. That's how you become a senior, by writing horrible code and then learning from it and increasingly refining your technique, your skills. If there is a good saying, if you're not horrified by the code that you wrote 2 years ago, then you haven't learned enough since.
Yeah,
that's how you should think about it. Yeah, it doesn't matter how bad the code looks. Get it out there, get it delivered, and then next time you write better code.
Done beats perfect. I like that a lot. So it's a very apt piece of advice.
It's actually, I remember when I first started the job that I currently have, I was building a slider, like a, you know, just a basic, well, it had like a lot of animation actually. It wasn't that basic. That's why it was fiddly. And we were looking at a slider on the Apple Store website of how they did it, how there's like a customization panel where you could choose different parts of a iPhone, I think. And, you know, we were having an issue with the resizing. So the desktop version was working okay. The mobile version was working okay. But when you changed it, it broke. And then we realized that on the Apple Store, which is obviously being viewed by millions of people, the slider also broke at the same breakpoints. You couldn't resize it and the final card was missing and you couldn't scroll the way through. So that gave me a lot of confidence as when I first was a fresh green developer at my current job. I was like, okay, if the Apple guys can't do it, then there's no surprise that I'm struggling.
Yeah, really. And it happens to everyone, right? GitHub goes down sometimes, even Google goes down sometimes, and partly at least, and mistakes happen to everyone.
Reddit was down yesterday.
Was it?
In fact, yeah.
You spend too much time on Reddit, if you know. All right, so before we move on to the second one, just want to close off on this first point of your presentation, which was that nothing beats, or nothing can replace experience. What advice would you have as the best way to gain experience for, let's say, a bootcamper straight out of a course before they can get real work or real job? How can you get real hands-on experience? What's a good way?
Always be building something, for sure. Never just resort yourself to watching video courses or something, or going through written tutorials or something. Always build something yourself. Even if you just, if in a video course, you know, they show how to build the example site, blah, 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 then build that's fine. If not, try to to build something that you make up. I think there are also sites where they suggest example projects to work on, like a lemonade stand network or something, where you combine certain database calls with also geolocation and stuff like that. So always be building something. I think that's the most important advice I would have.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one as well. Always just build something outside the tutorial. Don't just follow it and then move on. Use it to build something with your own creativity.
And don't just think that watching the video is enough. I think you mentioned it as well, Tom. I think that was a good bit of advice from the lead teacher when I was working at Iron Hack. He'd always say that just because you watch the video doesn't mean you know it. And I think that's very true.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That explains a lot of my gaps in my coding. All right. So the second point was the more reassuring point to our listeners, I guess, which is that experience isn't measured in years. And we did touch on it a little bit there. But what kind of metrics then, if it's not just years and it's not just the ability to learn different things, have you experienced that is a good way to measure experience?
To measure is incredibly difficult.
Then to gain, I mean, you know, is it just how many different things I've built or how many times I failed and tried again? Is this like a good way to can you judge this as experience?
I think it comes close at least. Yeah, I think the number of things that you've built is at least a good proxy of your experience, and also the degree how different were the things that you've built from each other. Like, have you built 10 times the same thing, like kind of the same tech stack, same kind of project? Then that's, yeah, it is experience, but maybe not as much as if you've switched tech stacks or built totally different projects, you know, mobile app versus web app versus server-side things and so on. So I think measuring experience comes close to looking at what somebody actually built, because that's also what, as an employer, what you want the person to do. They want you want them to build something for you, and if the more things they've built in the past, then this is a good predictor as to whether or not they will be able to build the thing you want them to build. Mm. So I think that's a good proxy.
It's a quite an interesting topic, because I think that there's this, you know, this experience not being measured in years, because I think on the one hand you've got you know, like the years and years at which you could be working at a company, working on the same product, using the same tech stack. And, you know, if it's a digital app or something, you know, you might use that same tech stack indefinitely. It just gets harder and harder to switch it. But then on the other end of the scale, you've got this like very intense 9-week, 12-week course that the boot campers graduate from, which is probably, you know, in a lot of ways, too shorter amount of time to dive in deeply. What would your advice be there for people who have graduated and you know, they want to, do you think they should double down on the knowledge they already have? Is it they should find a company where they will be using the same skills over and over again? Or where do you think that kind of like the sweet spot between those two might be?
It depends a bit. I think if you've done a 9 to 12 week boot camp, then your knowledge will be superficial in some areas. I can't imagine it any other way, because there is so much to learn. There are so many technologies to use as a web developer, especially. So you might not have any other choice than to double down in this direction, and maybe also take a job where you will deepen your skills in those technologies that you've already learned about in the bootcamp. If you've done a longer program of, say, a year or so, then you might have a bit more choice already, and you have a bit of depth in some fields. And maybe you have an idea already where you want to focus in the future, and then you might be a bit more selective with the direction you move into next.
So using the amount of time that you've had in the industry to kind of like kind of constantly be refocusing on what you really want to do. So maybe your knowledge at the start is very narrow. You've got to work on it. And then you kind of like break down into those topics that you've learned into sort of where you want to specialize almost.
Yeah, I think you brought up the employer who wants you to work with the same technologies over and over again. That's not necessarily a bad thing if it doesn't go on for 10 years. Yeah. Mm. If it's for a year or two, then there is merit in really consolidating this knowledge and getting deeply familiar with one set of technologies so that you can already, then you can compare your next set of technologies very well to the one you already know, and then get a better understanding of where your personal preference also lies.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. So on to then, I think, the most unintuitive title of the three, that experience isn't everything. I kind of to double down on that, on the mystery of that. Can you tell us about the cow story, which I have no idea. I'm not really sure where this cow story that Tim mentioned came from, but tell us about the cow story, and then how can we apply that to the world of development?
I'll tell you the cow story. So the cow story is related to this hypothesis that experience is not everything. So the cow story goes like this. So there's a farmer, and he has two adult sons, and the farmer wants to retire. And now he has to decide, do I give the farm to the older son or to the younger son? And he has also already made his choice, thought deeply about it, and he calls the two sons and announces his decision, which is that he will give the farm to the younger son. And the older son becomes angry and says, what, but why? I am the older son. It should be, the farm should go to me. And then the old man listens and says, all right, my firstborn son, I need you to do something for me. We need more stocks. Will you go to Kunal's farm and see if he has any cows for sale? So the older son goes to Kunal's farm, checks it out, comes back, says, Father, Kunal has 6 cows for sale. The father thanks him and then turns to the younger son and tells him the same. We need more stocks. Will you go to Kunal's farm and see if he has any cows for sale? So the younger son goes, comes back and says, Father, Kunal has 6 cows for sale. Each cow will cost 2,000 rupees. If you buy more than 6 cows, there will be 100 rupees discount per cow. Also, next week, there are special Jersey cows coming in if we aren't in a hurry, so it might be good to wait. But if it's urgent, cows can be delivered tomorrow. So he provides a whole lot of more information, and then the father turns to the older son and says, see, this is why your brother is getting the farm.
What do you think, Dan? Just off the bat, what do you think?
Holy cow, that's it. That's a good lesson. I'm interested in the geography of these Jersey cows coming into an obviously Indian farm.
That's what it's
special. No, but I like it. So the concept is here, it's not just about like seniority doesn't just win just by being the oldest. It's about who delivers the better quality of work, I suppose.
Exactly. So the old one, he's the older brother, is passive. He doesn't think along. He needs to be micromanaged and told every step along the way. He does a very superficial job, and he just follows orders, basically. Whereas the younger is proactive. He sees the big picture. He's self-directed, autonomous, makes recommendations and goes to the bottom of things. And that's a matter of attitude in the end. And this attitude is totally independent of age and of experience in the workplace.
It's a willingness to take responsibility and take action for the place you're in, rather than just, this is the remit of what I'm supposed to be doing, and this is the only work I'm doing and nothing else. It's you know, leveraging the opportunity of being in a team to take the initiative, I think.
It also goes full circle a little bit, because I think that the, you know, if you are a junior and you're being mentored, or you're working in partnership with a senior and you're kind of getting to that level of experience, you know, if you are the kind of person who's asking questions and taking responsibility and working autonomously, etc., then you can actually help the senior or the person who's been more of a member of the team, because they can, they'll start seeing things in different ways and start, you know, understanding problems slightly differently. So I think it's quite a good way of understanding, like, that just as it, being a junior doesn't make you a burden kind of thing.
I was never thinking it like that, but now you've said it, I think it's going to be on someone's mind.
I'm a
just
burden.
Being a junior is a burden. Down.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Sometimes I think when people join a team, they feel like, oh, I'm asking
specifically when it comes to asking for help. I think that juniors, there is this prevailing mindset of, I don't want to be, I guess, a burden, as opposed to just asking lots of questions all the time. And ironically, people who don't ask questions, it's a red flag if someone isn't asking anything. You know, so always ask.
Totally agree. Because asking questions also shows ownership, in my opinion, because you, if you don't ask questions, then you will waste time. You will sit idly trying to solve the problem in some other way, and you're going to spend 6 hours without making any progress. And that's time wasted, right? Time that the company pays you. And if you free yourself out of this trap, you show ownership for your own time, which is ultimately the company's money. And I think that's a good attitude. If you don't allow yourself to sit
idly.
There
can be a fear of reaching out to a senior, you know, especially if you're new and feeling like you shouldn't be able to ask. But I think that obviously with every company being different, I think there should always, if there isn't space to ask, I think that's a major red flag from the perspective of the junior. So
yes, of course. It also depends on the senior being asked, right? They can be inviting questions, but they can also be kind of defensive towards questions without saying it openly, but from the way they, from their posture, or do they always put their headphones on, and are they don't ever actively ask if everything's going well, and or they have a hostile face, intimidating look on their face. So it both sides have a responsibility, I think, but the junior for sure as well.
And Tom, I know we've kind of obviously focused very squarely on web development here, but your experience working at a big company like Trivago, do you think that these kind of lessons or tools, do they kind of cross over to different teams as well, like design culture and all that kind of thing? Because, you know, I think if you just took out the fact we're talking about like web languages and coding and libraries, etc., this pretty much goes to other, you know, if you were a UX UIer or a data scientist or something, you could take all this on board as well.
I think so too, yeah. I think it's been pretty universal. Like the mindset of proactivity and ownership and self-direction, that's totally independent of the field. I think it's universally applicable also to social sciences or working in a bakery or anything.
Yeah, you're right.
But it doesn't matter where you work. If you think along, if you're thorough, and if you are trying to be helpful, I think that will be appreciated in any workplace.
Tom there, what a ledge, what a legend.
Yeah, really, really awesome for him to give up his time and come and speak to the newer people in the field. We were using the term youngsters a lot for new people.
Does that just make us sound old?
No, I just think that people who are older coming into tech doesn't, it doesn't really incorporate them. New people in tech, not just young people in tech.
Yeah, youngsters. The word youngsters as well.
Yeah. But anyway, golden advice.
What I could, what I can suggest, actually, if you enjoyed this episode, I would definitely recommend going back to the archives and finding our previous episodes with Jan Redman, the previous lead teacher at IronHack for the web development course. Because I feel like a lot of the lessons that Tom had echoed what Jan said in the past about not piling on the information when it's all fragile, you know, doubling down on what you already have, and this kind of senior mentality and stuff. I think I think Jan had a lot of links to Tom's.
It's because it's good and correct advice. That's why it echoes so many times. And I think that the more people have it, hear it, the more that it will be drilled into them, that it really is not as complex and daunting as it sounds. And it really is just a case of persistence.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a review. If you didn't enjoy it,
I don't like the idea of inviting reviews. Don't do that. No, sure? Just listen to it if you like it.
We said it last week.
Oh. Well, how are the reviews coming in? Have you got some?
I don't know, but apparently that's what you have to do now, because all the platforms are review-based.
Right, great.
They've changed it.
Leave us a review.
So if you enjoyed it, leave a review. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe. If you enjoyed that episode, listen to some old ones, which are just as good as this
one. And if you're thinking about joining Iron Hack, do it. Just go join it.
That's it from us. Goodbye. Bye.